Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer. In this fourth and final program of Benny Goodman's Kingdom of Swing, I'll be discussing Benny's life, musical success, and highlight his later career with some rare and unusual items. Though the swing era ended shortly after World War II, Benny Goodman continued to tour, record, and perform with vigor for more than another three decades. As you can hear in this 1954 Get Happy. Sweet, a 1954 Get Happy by a Goodman Sextet with trumpeter Charlie Shavers, arranged by pianist Mel Powell, launching this fourth and final program in a series celebrating Benny Goodman's Kingdom of Swing on Jazz Rhythm, jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz, old and new. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me. This hour I'll be considering his place in jazz history and his later career, playing recordings from the mid-30s to the mid-70s, including some rare items from the LP era. During the 1950s, Benny Goodman continued to tour, perform, and record, relaunching his bands and combos many times, and continued to commission new tunes and arrangements. He toured the Far East, toured Europe several times, and during the 50s, his classical music career took off. In 1955, the biographical film The Benny Goodman Story was released, starring Steve Allen. And at that time, some pretty good recordings by Goodman were released, successfully recreating his early hits. This hour, we begin with items from the astonishing collection of the Yale University Music Library, where a huge quantity of Goodman music and memorabilia now resides. In later years, Goodman had a strong association with Yale. He taught and conducted seminars there and received an honorary doctorate. Then, only months before his death in 1986, Benny arranged for the Yale Music Archive to receive his musical legacy. To that institution, he bequeathed 400 master tapes, along with the right to commercially issue the previously unreleased recordings. It was part of a huge quantity of memorabilia, some 5 truckloads of materials he donated, including his library of about 1,500 arrangements, 5,000 photographs, his scrapbooks, clippings, and his many awards. From that treasure trove, the best items have been issued on around a dozen compact discs. A couple of good examples are No Way to Stop It, a Goodman Orchestra in 1959, and a fine mid-50s sextet rendition of How High the Moon. Thank you. Hot stuff. Two very fine examples of Goodman in the 1950s, and music issued from the Benny Goodman collection of the Yale University Music Library. How High the Moon, live at Basin Street in New York City in 1954, was a sextet with trumpeter Charlie Shavers and pianist Mel Powell, both frequent Goodman associates in those years, and No Way to Stop It was a 1959 big band. Yet to come during this hour of Benny Goodman's Kingdom of Swing on Jazz Rhythm, Benny with Strings, and an extremely rare recording made live in San Francisco in 1976. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for being with me. Among the elements that made the Benny Goodman Orchestra a huge success and the definitive swing band of the 30s and early 40s were a balance of Benny's incomparable clarinet sound, his excellent tone, precision, and lightning-quick solo improvising, a superb choice of tunes and band arrangements from the finest American jazz arrangers, danceable rhythms, and presenting female vocalists ranging from bouncy and perky to sultry and sexy. And here's a sample of these strongly contrasting singing styles. Helen Ward's 1936 Goody Goody is almost childlike, as if she were singing a nursery rhyme. But completely opposite is Peggy Lee's knowing, sophisticated, even disdainful treatment of Why Don't You Do Right, her biggest hit with the Goodman Orchestra that sold over a million copies.
If you had prepared 20 years ago, You wouldn't be a wandering now from door to door. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. To offer me is a drink of gin. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Like some other men do.
Peggy Lee's biggest hit with the Goodman Band, the 1942 million seller, Why Don't You Do Right, preceded by Goody Goody, one of Helen Ward's most popular and I think entertaining records with the Benny Goodman Orchestra. I'm Dave Redlauer, you're hearing Jazz Rhythm. Many criticisms and harsh assessments have been aimed at Goodman and his music over the years. Some of these may be valid, while many, in my opinion, are definitely not. Worst is the allegation suggested by several jazz scholars and seconded by the Ken Burns Jazz television series that Goodman was a white musician who appropriated or exploited the jazz and swing music that was invented by African Americans. And I find this false on several counts. Jazz has always been an interracial music. It was born in turn-of-the-century New Orleans precisely because of the unique mix of ethnicity, race, and culture there. No racial group owns nor solely invented jazz, and the musicians themselves rarely discriminated by race. If a cat could play, he could play, regardless of skin pigment. And Benny included notable black jazz musicians in his small bands, touring ensembles, and concert performances, bringing his personal brand of jazz to a mass American public. Nobody did more to break the barriers of racial discrimination in the musical industry of the late 30s and early 40s than Benny Goodman. Another criticism regards his skill at improvising. Now, I'm not a musician, I'm an amateur musicologist at best. So musical minds far superior to mine have found some fault with Benny's soloing. All acknowledge his awesome technical skill, his inventiveness, his accuracy, and his band leadership. But many do find the overall architecture of his soloing lacking, that he was unable to construct long, cohesive statements, as did the very finest improvisers. And this may well be Goodman's one limitation as a musician. But there is one criticism of Goodman that does strike me as valid, and it's his poor treatment of the musicians who worked for him. By almost all accounts, Benny was notoriously unpleasant to work for. For instance, singer Helen Forrest said in retrospect that her 20 months with Goodman felt like a sentence of 20 years, or even a life sentence. The dreaded and unnerving stare of disapproval that Benny gave a musician he was not happy with was called the Ray by his employees. Forrest described it saying that Benny would look right above your eyebrows, in the middle, right on top of the brow. Nonetheless, by 1947, even Benny was able to chuckle about this peculiarity in a studio pickup session called The Hollywood Hucksters, in which he shared a novelty vocal with bandleader Stan Kenton, who makes a jocular passing reference to the B.G. Ray.
Happy am I. Happy am I. Now my name is Stanley Kenton. I feel so good I want to sing, sing, sing.
So what? My name is Benny Goodman. You you're trying hard, but you don't swing, swing, swing.
Say, you know some folks mistake me for another guy named Bing, Bing, Bing.
Now, Stan, I beg your pardon.
Watch that laugh.
Your reputation's really great, great, great. But if that's artistry and rhythm...
Watch out now.
Don't serve me up another plate, plate, plate.
You might be the king of the clarinet, Ben, but as a singer, you don't rate, rate, rate.
That goes double. I hear you got a band that features 19 brass. And when they hit a clinker, you call it progressive jazz.
That's a good thing you said jazz. Now watch it, Mr. Goodman. Be careful what you say, say, say. You know I know exactly what you're doing. You're giving me that BG Ray, Ray, Ray.
Ouch. Now listen, old man Kenton. Leave us no hear more from you, you.
Now come on, Mr. Goodman. I could ask the same thing too. You know that's true too.
You are so right, Mr. Kenton. We can't sing blues when we're not blue, blue, blue. We've got those happy blues, blue, blues.
What a kick. The ebullient novelty called Happy Blues, released as the Hollywood Hucksters in 1947, a vocal duet of Benny Goodman and bandleader Stan Kenton. You know, it is remarkable and somewhat unusual for an American celebrity of his stature that Benny Goodman lived a life free of scandal. There's not even a hint of alcoholism, substance abuse, womanizing, financial difficulty, or personal unhappiness. For instance, his marriage to John Hammond's sister, Alice, lasted nearly 36 years before her sudden death in 1978. You're hearing Benny Goodman's Kingdom of Swing on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thanks for joining me. If you visit the Jazz Rhythm website, you can learn more about Goodman, early jazz, request a program playlist, or listen to over 100 programs for free at www.jazzhotbigstep.com. Still ahead this hour, some of Benny's own favorites from his early records, and a few rare and unusual items from his later years, like this next extreme rarity recorded live in San Francisco in the 70s. Herb Kane was a Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper writer who became Mr. San Francisco. During four decades, his daily column in the San Francisco Chronicle was a compendium of all things Baghdad by the Bay, and he was a great fan of Benny. Goodman played for Kane's 60th birthday party in 1976, and on that occasion, Benny led a 7-piece pickup band, including trumpeter Jack Shelton, Lou Levy piano, and Louis Belson drums. This live performance was issued on a very limited edition LP album, of which only 100 copies were ever pressed. From that limited edition vinyl, here's 7 Come 11. Performance of 7 Come 11, Benny Goodman in 1976 with a pickup band live in San Francisco. And the 100 copies of that limited edition LP were issued under the tongue-in-cheek label Co-Lector-Sitem, or Collector's Item. Special thanks to Goodman fan and collector, the late Louis Lowenstein, for the loan of that and other vinyl rarities heard this hour. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thanks for joining me exploring the life, music, and swing kingdom of Benny Goodman on Jazz Rhythm.